Welcome to A Load of Old Toffee, episode number 55, brought to you in association with boroughguide.co.uk and David Lloyd's Gym in Stevenage. Joined this afternoon by Mark Hollis and Dean Thompson, and by Borough Elby.
Right.
I've forgotten your name.
Josh.
Josh.
Josh, that's good, isn't it? Brilliant.
Well, you just get to call people Elby, don't you?
I don't call him Elby.
Well, all right. That's what we're
doing. Or whatever his
Twitter handle
is
this way.
I'll change it tonight.
Jesus worked.
How do you do that? How do you change it? I've got a few people I need to shake off on Twitter.
I bet you have.
A few people want to shake you off on Twitter. I know that. That's for sure. I guess there's only one thing we're going to talk about, really.
That's a nice little laugh, wasn't it?
Today. And that's Saturday's performance against Luton Town, 2-1 defeat. Everybody's gone quiet on me.
Who do you want to begin?
How did we see that game? Mark, you can start today. Go on.
I summed it up on Twitter after the game as two average teams playing out a boring mid-table nothing draw until someone decided not to track their man.
I
maintain that. Everything I've seen since, I maintain that. I thought first 20 minutes or so they were well on top. We probably edged the last 15 of the first half. Second half was reasonably even. They might have had a quarter of an hour on top. It was just a nothing game for me. I wasn't remotely angry or fed up about, or I wasn't standing there going, what load of old rubbish this is. It was just one of those Saturday afternoons, mid-table game, just nothing. I thought, considering there were so many people there and how everyone was getting themselves all overexcited in the build-up, I thought the atmosphere was pretty poor. It was a nothing afternoon until their second goal, when I was apoplectic.
All right, we'll come back to that. Josh?
We set up that game all wrong. I said this to you before. Luton's four wins before us. 1-0, 1-0, 2-0, 1-0. So you're looking at that. Their attack, they're scoring, but they're not a dangerous attack. So we don't need Andy Bond in front of the defence as well. As long as we've got... is that Andy? So we only need an organised back four. Don't start on Darius. An organised back four to deal with that. But our defence is strong, so you want to have more than one person up front. And we went 4-1-4-1. Beardsley is going to pound every defender they've got and battle everything, but he needs to do that for someone. Somebody needs to capitalise on the mistakes he forces him to cause. But with no one up there, there's no point in doing it. So you're almost a man down up front because he's got no one to work for. Put Calcutt on that up there instead of the unneeded man in front of the defence, and then you've got someone to hold that defence. And I was saying that games are won from your wayside if the home team doesn't pressure them enough early on and allows them to settle. And we didn't do that. They were allowed to settle in, and you saw how we did in the first 20 minutes when they got settled. They worked from the back, their defence wasn't pressured, and they could build on that strong defence. And then, when did they score?
If you've got a centre-half on the pitch heavier than me and less mobile than me, what's the reason he's on the field? What is his core strength if you can't really run a lot?
How much do you weigh, Mark?
You're on there... he ain't heavier than me. You're on there because he wins a lot in the air, isn't he? Surely. He's not there for his pace.
He's a very clever player.
He's got decent positioning, but he's on primarily, I assume, at that size to win everything in the air. Right?
Watching him, he looks to me like an organised player. He looks like he's got a mental mind.
Don't lump it down his throat all game.
I want to see some running at him.
Put it over his head to anyone quicker than him.
It's got to be a yellow card there. With the players we've got, there's got to be a yellow card there.
Take him in the box.
And just try running at him and, expose his pace.
Well, you mean like Darius did at one point? Darius. Beardo did it. Sorry, Beardo. At one point where he put the ball past him and did him for pace all day long.
Mm.
Like a bit like that.
Mm.
Okay. Okay, but you can only do that when you're a lone front man if you have the ball played to you, not in the air all game where you're... Okay. Just to clear, I just want to clear that up in my own mind, really.
All right. Dino, come on, let's get going.
Well, I haven't been too angry about it up until the last 5 minutes, and then two have managed to wind me up.
And since.
I didn't get the opportunity to be angry about it walking away from the ground, because I walked away from the ground with Mr. Ollis and I couldn't get a word in edgeways from the ground to Tesco's.
Yep.
Where I decided that I'd park my car somewhere different to him, and I hadn't really. I just had to get away. Because I had an event to go to, and I didn't want to, you know, sort of string myself up to the nearest tree.
I'd have kept you there all night.
That was my concern. And, you know, Josh is blaming Weser, and, you know, I don't want to do that. But I'm going to.
Oh, here we go. Come on then.
Because at one point in that first half, and I questioned it with somebody, we were messing each other a bit later on. We have to adapt, Dino, he said. We have to adapt. We don't adapt to a game against your local rivals by sticking Dean Parrott out on the right-hand side and playing Bond and Charlie Lee in there. Charlie Lee, you know, don't really have a... You know, he ain't played a lot of football in centre midfield. He's played a lot of football at fullback and playing as the number 10. And then you put a lad that has not got a clue, quote unquote, from another one of the players, in Chris Whelpdale, playing up front. It was madness. Utter madness. And that's why we were quashed for 25 minutes. Now, I shouted something that wasn't particularly pleasant. But I told him to get Parrott back in the middle and get Charlie Lee playing the number 10 and get Whelpdale out the side. Which he did, and then we scored and we equalised. So, you know, just saying. Well, they lost the ball on the halfway line didn't he? And then we gave away the free kick. He just gets up and shrugged his shoulders. Don't get up and shrug your shoulders. Get up and win the ball back. I've had enough of these players losing the ball and not giving a monkey's what's it about getting it back. It's ridiculous. Oh, well, we'll give away a free kick. Oh, well, that's all well and good giving away a free kick, but then we can't defend the damn thing when it gets in the box. Because their biggest, strongest centre-half beats our biggest, strongest centre-half to the ball and it goes in the goal.
Dino.
But he wasn't that angry.
You just scared me then.
It's ridiculous. I'm seething now.
If there was a camera on him, he's turned purple and he is actually shaking. And Dino's not.
Nobody's that angry about how we've got beat by another team like that.
Well, this is what I was thinking earlier on. This is, we're going to sit on here and rant about Saturday's game, and any Luton fans listening are going to be going, ah, laughing. They're really angry because they lost to Luton. I ain't really angry because we lost to Luton. I'm really angry
because we lost to another team.
We lost to an average team in a game we didn't need to lose.
Very similar to us.
Bad decision making.
Yeah.
All right. Shall I just give you my take?
You can do if you want.
All right. What are you going to say, Mark?
I was going to start a new rant.
Well, if it's going to wind me up, Steve, then
no.
Because you're going to go, it weren't too bad.
No, what I'm going to say is,
we only lost 2-1.
Poor first quarter of the game.
Yes, 25 minutes they had, 20 minutes we had.
But we've come back and got an equaliser before the break.
Yeah.
And I thought we had the better of the second half.
Dominated it, somebody said, didn't they?
Until the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think we dominated that second half.
I thought we had the best
10 minutes into the second half, we need to take control of this game, slow it down, pick our own tempo, and just keep a passing slow, just control that game and make it decide what we want to do. And we didn't. And then 15 minutes after that, they started getting back into it because we didn't take charge. And the substitution, was it Conan on for Parrott? A like-for-like substitution. Like-for-like substitutions do nothing except reinvigorate that position. So unless you're winning or in control, there is no point doing a like-for-like when you're drawing 1-1 and not in dominance.
No, I'll just
shoot. I agree
shouldn't
with that.
Shouldn't have even had Connell on the bench by that point.
I don't even agree with you on that, because Dean Parrott can't play 90 minutes.
No, I agree with that.
We aren't gaining anything. We're making a double substitution. as I said, Cal got on for Bond early on, a sign like that. But you aren't changing any shape or tactic in the game except for stopping a player getting injured and keeping that position fresh. In a style that isn't pressuring them in any way, isn't pushing us forward, isn't keeping a hold in the game, because we haven't got a hold in the game.
Did Andy Bond get 90 minutes against Mansfield?
Yeah, he did.
And 90 minutes against Saturday. How's he done that?
Now, you know, Mark, I wasn't that keen on Andy Bond in pre-season.
Have you got some stats?
No, I haven't got... Don't be silly. This is silly.
Put your phone away then.
I have got...
You got a photo of him near the ball or near an opposition player?
An idiot sometimes. You really are. I'll find it in a minute. It's on Borough Chat. There's a very new and sensible poster come on there called East Terrace Lad. I like the cut of his jib. He talks a lot of sense.
I had a debate with him the other day. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about. He thinks the same as me.
Well, should we move on then?
If he thinks the same as you, Andy, you ain't got to find these posts.
I thought Andy... I would never hide behind a pseudonym. I take all my roastings to my face. I thought Andy Bond was good against Mansfield. I thought he was good. I think he breaks up the play. I think he does the simple stuff. The stuff that your Mark Beard and your Joel Byram used to do in teams of old. I thought he was rubbish on Saturday.
I agree about what his job is to break up the game of that, but not when you're at home, when you've got five people in defensive positions at home from the start. That's
so what's he going to do? Play 22 games a season for
not
you?
When you got booked in the 8th minute.
You got, I thought got, he was unlucky there.
You've got a defensive midfielder on a yellow card from the 8th minute. Well, then he's got to come off. He has to come off.
Otherwise, Stilly.
Because he can't do anything.
Bought both his players on yellows off, didn't he?
He cannot make another challenge. He can't, you know, he can't do anything cynical. Someone breaks past him, he can't give him a little trip or whatever. There's nothing, and therefore, for the rest of that game, he did nothing. Didn't get singled out, though, did he, after the game by the gaffer? No, he picked our youngest and least experienced player for that.
Did he?
Yeah.
What, Tom Pett?
Who can I pick on? Should I pick on Tom Pett? Yeah, go on then, why not?
He can't throw a punch.
Yeah. Tom Pett's only little and inexperienced and would really take it to heart.
Can I kind of go into a Dino Thompson type rant?
Go on then,
you don't do it very often.
You don't do it that often.
Punching the air and turning purple, that goal really angered me.
That goal really angered me.
You should have mentioned it once or twice over the last 3 days.
Because... you could see how that was building up, and you put the photographs on Twitter.
I didn't, in fairness. That was the illustrious Mark Edwards.
It was exactly how I remembered it, and it just opened up, and the lads peeled off, gone wide. The ball's come to him, and the next thing we're picking the ball out of the net. But we're not talking about letting the player peel off and cut inside and get his shot away. We're talking about losing the ball at the throw-in. You lose the ball at the throw-in. I'm not too worried about that, but that
Darius
doesn't
Charles,
affect the rest of your defence, surely.
It was Darius Charles is big enough to take it on the chin. If he's made a cock up like he did for West, it'll come out after the game and go, that was a one-all game that was settled because somebody, Darius Charles, didn't track his man. If somebody as fat and bad at football as me sees Alex Wall peel off and shouts, Darius, what about your man? Just before he gets played in, then Darius should be seeing it.
Do you know, Mark, I did exactly the same thing in commentary.
Alex Wall pulled out to the wing.
It was just...
Darius pulled into the middle.
It was slow motion, wasn't it?
It was happening.
Well, it would be slow motion. Let's face it, Alex Wall is a fat and pretty useless footballer.
I took those photos and I left it. And I put them on... I put them up on Conf Guide because I wanted some other opinions. There's a couple of people on Twitter saying, oh, well... Darius's positioning looks like he's covering the ball from being played between the fullback and the defender.
No,
the centre. No, he weren't. What Darius was doing was not concentrating and running the wrong way.
I don't think he was even running the wrong way. There were two photographs. One which showed both players there, not too far away from each other.
Yep.
The second one showed Wall had peeled off and was 10 yards away.
Yep.
And Darius hadn't moved.
Yep. I'm going to get told off by somebody
Go on.
Probably Graham Wilson's, because I haven't played against Darius.
No, you haven't.
I'm talking about.
No.
Oh, no, that's right, because that's when he's a striker.
Yeah.
When he's a fullback.
Have you ever played against him, Mark?
No, when he's a fullback, though, what we've all openly admitted, Graham, is that he doesn't concentrate all game. Stop playing him there.
Yeah, well, but he has to play him there, because Akimo's not fit. Who are you going to play there, then, Josh?
I'd rather have a strong back three than a weak back four.
What, one other point about that goal.
I'd have a full squad.
One other point about that goal, and whoever is
decent finish, by the way. Decent run and a decent finish.
Yeah. Whilst the substitution was being made.
Which one?
Well, Wall, about 30 seconds before the ball hit the back of the net.
His shirt hadn't even finished riding fully down his torso yet.
Well, it wouldn't do.
Darius.
He needs to get the right size.
Darius was getting some instruction from the bench. In quite animated form,
from
John Steele. Don't look that way.
No, it was actually Jason, and it was like definitely that. You know,
Stilly,
some instruction.
Stilly shouts to Darius, just let Wally in. Where we are, he's going to nick one.
It was some instruction being shouted out to Darius, and Darius
playing your
then
own position.
Moved across a little bit further to the right. And of course, then we've got the whole.
Oh, I see now. So it's Jason's fault.
No, I didn't say that. I am saying what was the instruction, and what did actually happen?
I mean,
there? Because if you're talking about him losing concentration, he can't lose concentration 20 seconds after being told what he's got to do.
I don't want to say anything libelous, but I'd hazard a guess that Jason was going, Darius, pull left, pull left, pull left, and Darius thought he had.
Yeah, because he was facing the north. He was facing the south terrace. He got his lefts and rights mixed up. Look at his face. Watkins has got the up with us today.
It was.
This was always going
to
come.
Do you know what? I don't like singling players out, and I am a Darius fan. I have to say, but that really did anger me on Saturday.
I do like singling players out if they deserve it, but it sounds, because I constantly single Darius out, and we have a game up on the East Terrace where I point out all the things he does wrong, and then when he inevitably scores, everyone turns around and goes, ah! Like that one thing that he'd done good made up for the 73 throw-ins that he's given away. But it's another, me and Darius is another me and Shruti. Yes, Darius ain't the worst player in the world. Probably wouldn't get into either of the playoff teams in the conference, in my opinion, but everybody loves him, and it makes me hate him because he ain't worthy of the adoration he has from people. Same as Shruti wasn't worthy of the adoration he had of people. When he does things well, I give him a little clap and I'll say, well done, Darius. When he does things badly, I just shake my head. Other than Saturday, where I just lost the plot. And for the entire remainder of the game, was shouting at him.
But you know, go back to that throw-in. You know, Ronnie Henry took that throw-in and he played it into Whelpdale's head, which was ridiculous. So, do we start there? Do we start with Ronnie? Do we start with Whelpdale for not flicking it on? Do we start with? Do we go on to Bondi for not blocking the ball?
But he's got to throw it at someone's head. You can't really blame
that. Well, play it into his midriff. Play it to here so he can hold it up on the halfway line.
You could say it's Ronnie Henry's fault that we conceded.
Well, if you're working on my principle that you think it's Jason's fault, then yes.
Okay. I just wanted to clear that one up. Okay. But if I just finish my summary of the game, if it wasn't for that goal, I would have been quite happy with that game.
Well,
I enjoyed the game.
I thought it was
dull. I wouldn't have been happy, but I'd have come in here and gone exactly what I said. If that hadn't happened and it was 1-0, I'd have come in here and gone.
I turned to Danny
right,
Dino.
It was a 1-0 local derby.
70 minutes
and
said,
nothing.
This is bloody terrible, isn't it?
After 20 minutes, we should have been 4 down. We weren't. We turned it round, got back to level.
Daisy was good,
and that was a big plus for me.
Daisy was good,
he pulled off one save down his left hand side.
Brilliant.
He couldn't have seen that until it was on him. Yeah. Great save.
Not bad for 38.
Highlight for me was getting a little wry smile out of Benson when I had a little stab at his nose from the terrace.
I think he's had a job done on that, because I always remember his nose to be bigger than that when he was at Dagenham.
I did get a little smile out of him, a little side eye and a smile. So that was quite nice.
Tell you who is good though, that Pelly Ruddock.
Mm.
That lad comes out of their youth team and he's going to be a sensation.
Who is he? What one was he?
Number 17.
He's a fellow on the right wing with the wrong name on his shirt.
Yeah.
Are we talking
Dele Alli proportions.
I am talking, he's going to be big time. I mean, he comes out of the Utah. I mean, no disrespect to Rydell Gordon.
Before you get too carried away, he played on the right wing.
But, and we had, you know, we get Rydell Gordon, who's now out on loan at Chelmsford, and they get Pelle Rallo. There's, you know, there's got, we, he's a great player. And I said he's going to win this game for him at some point. Every time he got the ball, I absolutely crapped myself that he was going to do something and open our defence up, because he had no fear in him. Our players don't play like that.
No. Well, you know exactly why, because they're not given any freedom of expression. None of them. They're drilled into exactly what they should be doing. And that's always been the case. I'm not going to complain about that. But that's been the case. We don't have flair players. We're not allowed them. And any that we do have it knocked out of them for the greater good.
I think that's a bit unfair. I can't back up why I'm saying it's a bit unfair.
Go on then.
But
name me the last flair player we had.
Well, you've got to look at Luke Freeman. I'm going to say Luke Freeman, but apart from that,
you got Tom Pett.
Yeah.
Who potentially will be a flair player if he doesn't get roasted for nothing every week in the press.
I thought he took that goal well.
Yeah, he did.
And it, I thought really, the one really at the other end was a little bit easier. He just didn't catch it right, did he?
It really annoyed me that he was the one that got singled out.
Well, there were,
yes, he didn't have a great game.
There were four or five worse than him.
There were plenty he could have singled out to pick on. I don't know whether that's Graham Wesley saying I'm going to roast him in the press because he's the type of lad that will see that and he'll want to prove me wrong. I don't know.
I thought his name at the hat this
a bit of that, but all that.
Did you? What for?
No, he's saying this. Come on, Dean. Are you tired?
I didn't get it.
But he got roasting because it was his turn. He got his name put out. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Is that a whoosh?
We'll edit that bit out. We'll edit that bit out.
I wasn't really listening, actually. I was thinking about what I was going to have for my tea.
What are you going to have?
I haven't really decided.
All right, so plus points then. There were some positives.
Dean Wells.
Dean Parrott. I saw something. What does Dean Parrott offer us? Is somebody not watching?
Who was that? Where did you read that?
Sodge thinks he's the best player in the league.
Who?
Ross.
Oh, right.
I've argued with him about many a time, because we're in October.
There's a reason he's playing for us.
For me, he's a player who came to us troubled, didn't he? And was slow starting, didn't really get too many starts, and was making the odd appearance off the bench. But by the time he had his injury, he was one of our better players.
Yeah. I rate Dean Parrott.
And he's come back as one of our better players again.
What, in two games? Which that tells you something, that a 75% fit Dean Parrott is better than other players in the
most notable
team.
Thing that he gives us is delivery from set pieces, which...
Can you stop rubbing your knee? It's getting me a little bit carried away. Steve's
delivery
sitting here, both
pieces.
Hands stroking his own bare legs.
He's no Andy Drury though, is he?
Didn't everyone get overexcited about Andy Drury celebrating at the East Terrace on Saturday? Oh,
after 90 minutes of stick.
Yet again, slaughtered for 90 minutes. Had the audacity to give a little bit back.
What did he do?
Might just give it the old fist pump at the terrace.
I think he did a 2-1, actually.
Oh, did he? Well, either way. Whatever it was, nothing.
If he'd come over and, you know,
yeah, start giving
out,
it the bigger than swearing and all that, brilliant. But, yeah, no, a little celebration too.
How did the fans behave?
Very well.
Fine. Yeah. Well, from where...
It was a little Albion section down in the
couple of shafts at one end
in the southeast corner that invited the Luton fans over, but I think their dads came and sort of pulled them back towards the middle a little bit.
Yeah. I think some of them had their kids come and pull them away as well, because a few of them there looked a little bit older.
I thought Barry summed it up well on Twitter that it all went off without event, and it was an over-organised if anything. Couldn't even take my pint outside. Took me 25 minutes to get to Tesco's for a pizza, because heaven forbid you might be allowed to walk on the same bit of cycle path at the same time as some other humans. Jesus Christ.
Nothing came off.
I don't
criticise him for that.
It was hilarious.
I'm not criticising, but every... I want to go and get a pizza. Every route I took, you blocked off.
He ended up behind the west stand where I came out.
I thought I'd have a little cut through.
They blocked off the car park. Yeah. And there was this lad there, weren't there? Quite a hefty, big lad.
Oh,
it was hilarious.
He was rude. Yeah.
And he's going,
to the Luton fans. There's a hedge in between us and the Luton fans. He's going, come on then, say it to my face. He just did, yeah, mate.
Literally, the geezer was 2 foot away from him. There was only the hedge between them. He was hurrying him off. Come and say it to my face then. But he baffled him with sort of stupidness, because the guy just sort of went, see his face go, well, I have. There's nothing more I can do other than literally climb over a
hedge. And the Luton fans had gone and they still hadn't let us out, and I just shouted at the policeman, go on, let us out, he's never going to catch him now.
Yeah, he lost the plot, didn't he?
He did, he went a bit
potty. I've never known the home fans be penned in at the end of a game before. I think Luton okay, would have been quite happy.
Can we just rewind a little bit, because Dino's just come up with a punchline. Is that the missing punchline? We'll let the listeners decide on that. Sorry, carry on, Mark.
It's ridiculous. I shake my head every single time I see it on Twitter.
I think those old Luton fans would have been quite happy to have been held back for a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes in the stand, celebrating their victory over their local rivals.
Touching each other.
While I went to go and buy a Goodfellas and got out and got home. But didn't happen.
No.
I ended up sitting in the Roebuck on my own with a beer, with a load of Luton fans singing Alex Wall to Oasis' hit record Wonderwall, wondering what had happened with my life.
Mm.
Hungry.
Did you talk to him about?
I spoke to a couple of them.
Darius Charles.
It did come up. They were telling me that none of them like Alex Wall and they don't think he's very good.
No.
And then in the very next.
John Steele. Like
maybe. You're going to be a person. John Steele had
John Steele, yeah. He slaughtered him in the press a couple of weeks
so
ago.
Yeah, so that was it, really. It's all got a little bit. I think we've got a bit.
So, what are we going to have to do, Josh? What are we going to have to do with this starting 11? How are we going to have to approach, you know, like, for instance, Carlisle on Saturday?
I think we want Okimo back, don't we?
Well, we need to attack at Carlisle because.
Attack!
Yeah,
attack!
Simple.
Attack, attack, attack!
We never get anything at Carlisle. If we go up there and play defensively, we'll lose 1-0. Nothing will really happen. We'll have a miserable day for everyone involved.
Not those travelling on the SA coach, because they're not there, can't go now because they've cancelled it.
I'm going to Dulwich.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lovely.
Who are they playing?
Bognor Regis.
What made you choose that?
Better than Carlisle.
Yeah, but it's south of the river, isn't it?
I was going to say, there's other places to go.
My mate supports Hornchurch, and I was going to go Charlton. He goes, a bit expensive, we're going to someone in our league because Dulwich get a good.
So he supports Hornchurch. Yeah. Dulwich are playing who?
Bognor. We're going to go buy a Kidderminster, but very expensive. So,
that's true. You want a cheapo.
What
we could do is, if Graham was sitting here now, I'd imagine he'd be saying, "I've got a lot of injuries in key positions and key players." But
I've got players coming back.
Yeah, yeah. But it's
Parrott and Beardsley.
It's his decision, wasn't it?
Yeah,
your decision to have your best squad ever.
So yeah,
not your biggest.
I did laugh. Someone on Facebook commented today, could someone please ask Graham why he's failing to manage the best squad he's ever had?
the dissenters are getting louder.
They are.
I saw. Can I? Yeah, I had an interesting statistic sent through to me this week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I hope I haven't deleted it off my phone. Dean, Phil, do some filling.
Is the pressure on?
Yeah, it is. Because I can't take defeats like that anymore.
Found it.
Oh.
I had this sent to me, a little points per game stat. Smith in the 12-13 season, League One, 1.26.
Yeah, but
Weser in 14-15 League Two season, 1.27. 0.01 of a point.
I posted a big one comparison of bad stats.
Now I did go back and say it's no good sending me that because a comparison between Wesley and Smith does nothing for me, because I still think we should have got rid of Smith. But
I do.
At what point was the question that returned? At what point do we? At what point did we get to with Smith that made Wallace go?
Graham became
I've had
available.
Enough. And at what point do you get to with Graham? Where you start? Not that I'm suggesting that that is anywhere close, because I don't.
As soon as Graham got the sack at Preston, that was the end of Gary's. Days.
Not true, not true. Phil's no. Not true. Phil said that himself, didn't he, when I asked him the question at the fans forum.
If Gary Smith was winning, he wouldn't sack him for the sake of getting Wesley back. Wesley getting sacked at the end of the day. Smith losing was the end of the day.
And it was turgid.
It was pushed a bit by the fact that Wesley was available.
Yeah. I mean, I know I brought him up. It's pointless talking
for me,
about Smith, really. But
Wesley, as soon as last season ended, it is simply Wesley is our manager now. Obviously, he was our manager last season, but now it is simply Wesley is just another manager. Forget everything past. This is entirely he's formed this squad. He can work with it.
Yep.
It's like as if it's any other manager now.
Yep. I think most people were of the same opinion, weren't they? Last season, it was a case of right. Well, we're going to accept whatever happens to us. But this season.
But are we going to accept this? Win one, lose one, draw one. Win one, lose one, draw one.
And at the moment, you've got to say, it's not good enough, is it?
Graham would be delighted to hear this, actually, because he likes it when we're demanding.
He likes us to demand more, doesn't he?
He doesn't like us to be accepting of mediocrity or rubbish.
Yeah.
Which is Andy, because it doesn't appear that anybody's going to be anymore. So,
no.
So crack
on. I think there were a few rubbish ones out there on Saturday, and. I think he saw it, and if he didn't go loopy loo at them in training on Monday when they were back in at Bradbury or wherever they were, then he's gone soft.
Yep.
But I don't think he has. I don't think he's going to accept that.
But I think you were right. If that had finished 1-0, we'd have all sat here and gone, "Yeah, it's all right."
Yeah.
That was it.
I said 1-0 before the game.
7 out of 10.
I got a text on 65 from one of those chaps from Bedfordshire saying, "I can't believe you're sitting here playing for a draw at home against this."
Us. You got one from me on about 86, didn't you?
Yeah. I couldn't repeat that. Another comment from my Luton family were that wasn't a Stevenage side of old.
I saw that from a few Luton fans, actually. They said they were surprised how
lightweight,
non-cynical we were, how lightweight we were.
What about Lacey? Every time he got a throw, 18 yards out. He walked to the halfway line with it. Did the referee do anything about it? No. As soon as Ronnie wants to take one, takes an extra step. To be fair, I thought the ref was pretty good.
I like their centre-half.
Oh, Wilkinson.
Yeah. I'd like to know...
Where's he come from, Steve? What do you know about him?
Don't do.
Oh, sorry.
I'd like to know... What
we'll take that bit out.
I'd like to know what Beardo said to him in a quiet moment. I think the ball had gone out of play and, or somebody was down. Everyone was having a little drink up and... Beardo got in his ear about something. There was nothing going on, and Wilkinson flipped.
Yeah, well, that's twice.
That's two in 2 weeks. I'd love to know.
He got
Beardo
the Mansfield 2 substitute at half time, Beardo, didn't he? And he made Wilkinson flip. He's doing all right.
Yeah, I would love to know what he says to him.
Yeah, but Wilkinson coped with that, didn't he? And
we should mic him up, Beardo, shouldn't we?
Phoned my mate from Luton after the game to talk to him about what he thought, and he thinks we've got one of the better squads in the league. You think we've got a good talented squad?
You said that about one of the reporters that came down.
I said to him. You said they're an average team. I think they're a very good team. I think they're an average squad. Because I think after promotion, making me, you know, Ben's want to work together as a team, stick together, and keep. That's a team for me. A team and a squad are very different.
They strike me as a top 10 side, Luton.
Because they're confident. They're sticking together.
The point is, we've got a good team if we can get it out on the pitch. Luton have got a good squad and a big squad.
So who have we got missing? Akimo, Zola,
Marriott,
and Walton.
Yep.
Zola made the bench last week, so that wore him out,
didn't
it?
What is going on there with Calvin Zola? What is happening? Don't know.
No.
Someone told me Saturday he's injured again. That's a different injury this time.
No.
Don't know.
It's a shame, isn't it? You know, we don't know what he could do. I think he could be quite a good player if he turned out, but...
But here we are, we're midway through October, and we've seen, 10 minutes of him?
Two lots of 10 minutes.
I saw him at Cheshire, and then he got injured in the pre-season.
I didn't even see that.
2 lots of 10 minutes we've seen. But, yeah, what did he play at Aberdeen in 2 years? 16, 18 games or something, wasn't it?
They don't like him up there.
Don't they?
They were moaning about him. They want him gone. That's more why, I think.
Talking of strikers that you can't get out on the pitch, anyone seen our friend Marcus Ober today?
No.
Been getting a roasting from the crew manager who wants him to give up his international duty for this break.
Oh,
Canada friendlies
for a struggling
Two of Coventry's players have declined the opportunity to go and play in friendlies for their country to stay and fight for their club. Marcus, don't stick it. He's got the can-can. Love a piece on there. Our friend Nick Wilson tweeted us that. Fantastic. I mean, his
choice. That sums up that.
His choice
chap.
Was crew for 10 or 11 days or Cancun. But
are you allowed to do that, though?
The manager's come out on the website and said how he commends the Coventry lads for not going and wishes that Marcus had done the same.
Are you allowed to do that?
Well, you just go down with an injury, don't you? If you don't want to go.
He might even play.
I can't even believe he's even considering.
I might start following him on Instagram again for some more
international
Cancun lift shots.
That's a coincidence because I posted a picture of Steve and Marcus up on Twitter last night.
I did see that. Fantastic. They're like two miserable waxworks.
Yeah. That was a Tom Caster, yeah. And you were going, oh, really well played, Marcus. Oh.
Was I?
Just like that.
Right, while we're all
let's
jumping,
play a game.
Let's play a game. No one's done us a jingle. Oh, talking to you, I was going to say, if you want to do us a jingle, email it to aloadofoldtoffee@gmail.com. While I'm talking about our email.
Did you need me to
fill? No. I owe some apologies to people and I've got a horrible feeling.
Darius Charles, his whole family.
No. Although, I did see Darius's better half as I walked outside and she really glared at me. So
better half than a better left back.
I don't know. Right, I've lost the email.
Look, he's trying to keep decorum. Look at his face.
We had four.
He's got the right arm.
We had four emails sent in August.
Right, that we haven't talked about.
And my phone didn't tell me that they'd come through, and therefore I didn't know they'd come through. And I had it up on my phone, the list of names that I owed apologies to, and it's now gone again. So if you emailed us in August, sorry. Send it again if it's still relevant. Right, play your cards right. A bit flat this week, didn't I? About how long it took to get this started last week. Only on account of how I have to explain all the rules to you, pair of plebs.
Well, we got it now. We
so
know.
We all know what we're doing. Right, this is the 2011-2012 season. For anybody who hasn't listened to last week's, this is Play Your Cards Right. It's a play on Play Your Cards Right, and it's based on appearances made in a season. Total appearances, sub-appearances and starts.
Just one quick question.
Yes.
You gave us the option of sticking last week.
What?
When you got to 5 or 10.
No, I didn't.
Why would you?
I didn't give you the option of sticking.
You did.
Anyway, carry on. Absolutely didn't. Right, carry on. Okay, we'll listen back to next week.
Oh, Rory Deacon scored today against Woking.
Yeah.
I like him.
You alright? We playing this or...?
Did you hear that?
Say likes Rory Deacon? Yeah. Right, hold that for
we'll come back to that point, Josh.
Right, okay.
I think you're going to regret saying that.
Okay, this week, the opening question, you had it last week, Steve, goes to the guest this week, Albie, I assume you're playing.
Yep.
I didn't have it last week, actually.
Yes, you did.
But carry on.
I did it, I had it.
Do you remember last week at all? When you listened back
no,
to this?
No, I had it.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
Oh. Yes, he did.
He didn't. No. I can remember it.
Carry on.
Okay. The question last week was how many Freds have had Luton in the title? You said 8, Danny said 7.
Oh, I say yeah.
And
yeah,
you
yeah.
went... Oh, no, it weren't. It was okay. lower than that. Right.
It's just taking time, this is.
I'll accept your apology. Written or verbally. Right, the question to Albie.
Sorry.
According to the BBC report...
So that's wrong.
In which second was the first foul conceded on Saturday? Nearest begins.
So, 37 seconds.
Okay, Dean?
60.
36.
All right, Steve, you'll begin. The answer was the 23rd for an Andy Bond handball. Okay, Steve.
Okay.
Remember, I'm going to start you with a player. If you don't want to start with that player, you can change it for the next player in the list, and that player becomes lost into the ether of this game.
Go on, then.
Your opening player is my hero, the one, the only, the beautiful Mr. Mark Roberts.
Play.
56 total appearances.
Right.
Higher or lower?
In that season?
Yep.
Yeah.
Higher or lower? Michael Boswick.
Oh, dear. I thought that was a sure winner, that one.
He'll edit the silence out later.
That is a curveball, that one. Higher.
With 61 appearances, was higher. Well done. So that is one. Right, 61. So next, Ronnie Henry.
Lower.
Lower with 40. Stacey Long.
Lower.
Lower with 22.
I heard he likes a bit of magic, Stacey Long.
Jordan Slough.
Oh, what a dreadful footballer. Still earning a living at playing football, I have you know.
Lower.
Lower with 9.
How did he do that?
Higher or lower than Jordan Slough's 9? Phil Edwards.
Higher.
It is higher. Another point for Steve with 17.
That was before Gary Smith came along, wasn't it?
Higher or lower than Phil Edwards' 17? Jamal Lascelles.
Lower.
Lower is correct.
There's another footballer I've never understood.
What?
Premier League footballer.
Oh, I was going to say. Next up.
No, he's not.
Good, yeah.
No.
Shut it. Next up, Luke Freeman.
Higher.
Higher. That's an easy
one.
He
can run
well
fast.
Higher lower than 32. Christopher Beardsley.
Higher.
Lower.
It's lower.
Okay.
It's lower.
Didn't he get
with 30.
He had a shoulder injury that season. It ruled him out.
So
the
Steve,
first
you got a
couple
point
of months.
Oh. On to you, Albie. Chris Beardsley on 30 is your starting point. Higher or lower? Darius Charles.
Lower.
I wish.
Out. 34. Unlucky Albie, so 0 for the guest. Dino, on to you. Darius Charles, 34. Higher or lower?
John Ashton.
Oh, higher.
Higher, 53. Higher or lower than John Ashton's 53? Laurie Wilson.
Lower.
Higher. He went for it. He went too soon. Laurie
I thought
Wilson,
he broke his leg.
Laurie Wilson, 56 performances. There you go, Steve. Takes the lead further.
Do you remember when we used to have, back in those days, when we used to have on Borough Player, the old 2 minutes to win it? That's what reminded me of Stacey Long. That was good, that little feature,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was nice, that.
Chris Day did a Tommy Cooper.
I got some interesting, I've got some stats. Most minutes that season?
Boswick.
The thought was
That'd be Chris Day, wouldn't it?
No. most minutes. In fact, Chris Day's shockingly down the list.
Yeah, he did.
Most minutes was Mark Roberts. 90 minutes in every game.
Most minutes.
90
minutes
in every game.
Appearances.
Most appearances that season was Michael Boswick with 61.
Who was the other goalkeeper that season then?
Don't know. Bezo, wasn't it?
Possibly. He'll have played less than 5 games. Fewer than 5 games. Sorry, Chad. Boswick, although with the top appearances, he only had the 5th most minutes on the pitch. Roberts, Laird, Wilson and Ashton, all with more minutes than Boswick. Most goals that season?
Beardo,
10. Most yellow cards, Boswick, 10. So a busy season for Boswick.
What was that, League 2? Or Conference?
First season.
First
League
season,
one,
League 2. Oh, League 1, I don't know.
Okay.
It was a Gary Smith year. Try to block a lot of it out. Talk about Rory Deacon.
Yeah, so you think it's all right, Josh?
On his last 2 sub appearances, yeah.
Oh, so we're judging him on 20 minutes in 15 months again, yeah?
Well, I'm stuck.
I thought he did nothing on Saturday when he came on. He weakened
our
side. I saw some Luton fans saying how good he was.
I think he came against Mansfield and he pushed forward.
Oh,
and
on,
I think
he had a good 20
minutes. I think
his
vision needs a bit of work, but I think if you give him the ball and say, although it sounds not basic, go that way and just keep pushing forward, I think he'll give you that.
I'll agree with you.
And I think
but he won't do it.
Well, he has.
He's done it once. He's done it once in 15 months.
Sticking behind.
I know where I'll stick him.
Sticking behind the striker.
No, he's too lightweight. It's too lightweight.
That's the point. That's where.
Nah.
Give him the ball. Tend to run forward.
He can't head the ball.
Draw a foul.
He can't head the ball.
That's when you play at his feet.
No,
yeah,
you're
but
putting
don't.
A lot of ifs and buts into this.
He did well because he was able to use his pace last week against Mansfield, and that's what he's got. He can run fast. When I was his age, I could run fast.
Could you?
And you were a goalkeeper.
And you supported Newcastle.
We played him at left back. We lost. You know, he had the lowest points per game ratio at the football club. We've played him left midfield, and he's done all right for 20 minutes, even though he was on the pitch for 28. And Saturday, he did nothing for me. He was no better, no worse than Pep.
Okay. Saturday coming up, Carlisle.
Oh.
Is Rory Dick in the side then?
First name on the team sheet for Josh, by the sounds of it.
Well, he must be. You can't come out and slaughter Pep in the press like you haven't been given starting the next week. So he'll be dropped.
Slaughter him.
I think picking out one individual in a team that hasn't performed.
One 18-year-old.
You don't have to play from non-league. He was talking about the goal, wasn't he? And the fact that he's a young lad who's just come into the side. He didn't slaughter him at all.
But you don't have to say
You don't even have to mention it. What was the goal like? Yeah, it's a lad done well, decent finish.
If you specify a player at all, you don't have to say anything more about him. If you specify a player when talking about a negative part of a game, you are signalling him out.
Yep.
You don't have to slag him off. You don't have to abuse him horrifically. By singling him out specifically, you are pointing, you are luring blame to him.
I like that word.
I disagree. I didn't see that as a slagging of Tom Pett by any stretch of the imagination. I think what he pointed out was that maybe he had a slow start to the game.
That's fine, but why?
Stick him on the list with the other nine.
He had a slow start to the game.
Why? Tom
because
Pett?
He scored.
Brilliant. So he's the only one that did anything good then. It seems strange to me. Even if you say all that stuff you say about Tom Pett and then caveat it at the end by going, but he was by no means the worst performer. Fine. He didn't do that. There was not any other player mentioned in any other negative way in that interview other than Tom Pett. Yes, maybe he didn't go out and slaughter him, but I don't think there's any need to attribute anything negative to him. Yes, he didn't have a good game, but there were definitely worse players on the pitch, and I don't think you could really sing anybody out that had a corker anyway. If I was Tom Pett, I'm probably more sensitive than Tom Pett. If I was Tom Pett, though, I'd have taken that. I'd have felt a bit hurt.
He probably went.
He might have done.
Up yours, Graham.
I can't imagine that he would have done that.
Okay.
Can you edit just that single bit better?
Yes, clip that.
Cut that bit out and email it to Graham. That would be fantastic.
Dino said, up yours, Graham.
How to take a quote out of context.
Yeah, hang on.
Okay.
Right, tell it what we'll do. If, Dean, I've just been wondering actually while I was at work today, is that if Graham was here now, what would you say to him? Brilliant. Cut that bit, then put that bit on the end, and we'll. That's brilliant.
Oh,
never will you commentate again.
We've got to talk about Saturday. Carlisle.
Don't expect
back
anything.
Of two wins away.
Keith Curl.
We're going to have no fans there to witness it at all. All they're going to have is you and me to listen to. They know. And I don't even know if you're going at the moment. So
I could be
the only person heading to Carlisle.
Well, that's all right, because you can fit them six in the council off the coach. Get them in the back of the BBC van, mate. You'll be there. We'll be well away. Charge them £15 petrol.
Not a good side, are they? Keith Curl's come in.
Well, they ain't lost. You know, they've won the last two. I actually watched the highlights of their win Saturday, and it was Sunday league defending, really was.
What about their game?
Well, Hartley, yeah, see, Hartley and people say to me, "What does Mark Hollis offer the podcast?" Moments like that.
One person once said to you.
Predictions then. Predictions. Dino, come on, you start.
I don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
I literally don't know where it goes, and we never get anything at Carlisle.
No. I want a prediction, so I can.
Well, I think we'll probably lose 1-0.
I think if we got there and attack, knowing
attack,
people, yeah,
Josh
people,
wants to attack.
I want an attack.
Attack.
People don't expect us to get anything up there, so just get stuck into them from the off. Try to get something out of that game, and you know what? I'd rather lose 1-0 trying for something than lose 1-0 not trying for something. We're going to lose up anyway.
You'll only get what you've always had if you only do what you've always done.
Is that right?
Some wise man once said that.
I urge you.
Probably
just,
worded it better than me. But
I urge you just make your own
get
luck.
Get up there, get stuck into them, try to make a point of ourselves and try to earn something back.
But do you know what? The post-match mood Saturday was so much... What is wrong with you today, Watkins? I'm trying to make a point.
Turned up in his full kit.
He's a full kit. What's it? Where are you going after, anyway?
Training.
He's got a date with Graham.
He's got his logo shorts on, his logo
It's all Graham
jacket.
Ever wears, apart from that rascal Adidas stuff that he wears in interviews sometimes. what I was going to say was the mood of the players was so much better than that of the players from last season, so I don't think they're a bad lot all in all.
No, I think they're all
good. They'll be fired up for Saturday.
So what's your prediction then, Josh?
Optimist says 1-0 us, pessimist says 2-0 them. So I think yeah.
Anything in between?
No.
1-0. I'm going to go with you again. 1-0.
Let's hope it's better than last time.
Alright.
This has felt short, or has it just gone quick?
We've spent a lot on one subject.
Okay. Voting closes for the old Football Blog Awards on Friday.
Right, well, hopefully this podcast will go out on Wednesday.
Go out this week, yeah, won't it?
Thanks for your vote.
Yeah, I've seen lots of people voting. Yeah. Thanks. I get the impression if you keep voting, they just keep getting counted. So,
keep voting.
I'm voting for At Old Toffee in the podcast category of the at the FBAs, please.
And I'll save my.
There is a tweet on the Old Toffee account that you can just copy and paste the text from.
I'll save my defence of Andy Bond for next week.
Okay. Dino, you better plug your race night.
Oh, your race night next Friday, week on Friday, isn't it? 7:30 start. Going to be good.
With the crazy duo.
Me and
hosting
me.
It
crazy
by all accounts crazy
never been, yeah I don't know where that came from mental
I
coming lost. Josh
my
good fun
my summation on Facebook earlier was better than I thought,
well we'll have a look at that,
not repeatable.
Okay, eventful Saturday anyway, or well, certainly it's plenty of talking points brought up from it.
I was expecting some stick at work on Monday morning when I got in, nothing. Well, they were right up boring, not the Luton fans.
Brian Steen was there.
Did see Brian Steen, didn't we, at the end? Boot and cut jeans.
Not bad for 50 odd.
Okay, we'll be back next week, will we?
Well, yeah. You're going to have to tell us about Carlisle.
I think we should do something special next week.
Alright, we'll see. Okay, hopefully, keep doing this build, we'll have something special next week. We'll be back then. Well, thanks to Mark and Dino and Josh.
And now thanks to you, Steve.
For setting it all up.
For being here and bending us your microphone.
This was brought to you in association with www.boroughguide.co.uk. If you'd like to contact the podcast team or contribute to a future edition, please email us at aloadofoldtoffee@gmail.com, and that's with no spaces. You can also join us on Facebook by searching for A Load of Old Toffee, or you can follow us on Twitter at Old Toffee, again, no spaces.
A Load of Old Toffee.
Toffee.